When it comes to spreading gossip, it takes two to tango. Here's Skip Heitzig to explain.
I discovered something, however, as I was studying through this. The Hebrew word for tale-bearing and tale-bearer in the Old Testament is anah, and it appears 329 times in the Old Testament. 42 of those times, it's not translated to speak, it's translated to hear. Same word. Isn't that interesting? Not translated to tell something, but to hear something. I think the point being is there wouldn't be so many open mouths if there weren't so many open ears. Tell me more. I want to pray more about that. Brother.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
Most of us could probably say that we don't set out to consciously mislead people with blatant deceptions and lies. We all know that's wrong. However, what we may not realize is how lying and deception leaks into our daily routines without us even realizing it. There are more ways to lie than not just telling the truth. And we'll explore this issue further with Skip Heitzig today on The Connection. But before we get started, as this year rapidly approaches its end, many are wondering what the new year may hold. This Christmas, you can share a peek into the future with this special offer.
We live in times of crisis and confusion. With a new year about to dawn, many challenges await our country. Threats from abroad and division at home can mean serious anxiety. But believers in Jesus Christ have security and certainty that can be found nowhere else. In his series, Homeland Security, Skip Heitzig reminds us that radical Islam is not the only threat we face.
Yes, our homeland is under attack, but our homes are under attack. Your family is under attack. Your children. Churches in this country are under attack. And your souls are also under attack.
But the Bible promises peace in times of terror. Now from The Connection, get a practical spiritual briefing in the teaching series Homeland Security from Skip Heitzig. Plus, this month when you order the 12-part Homeland series of messages, you'll also get the Alert 08 Prophecy Update, a CD recently recorded in New Mexico. Alert 08 featured Dr. Tim LaHaye, General Jerry Boykin, Kamal Saleem, and Skip Heitzig in four full-length teachings full of current information and insight.
One of the things that bothers me the most is the fact that most people just simply don't get it, the seriousness of the threat that we're up against today. It is the threat of radical Islam.
Order the Homeland Security series and get the full Alert 08 Prophecy Conference. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org and order both resources. A total of 16 messages for just $45. You can have confidence and peace in the future, whatever 2009 might bring. Order Homeland Security and the Alert Prophecy Update for just $45. Call 1-800-922-1888. Order online at connectionradio.org.
Events in the world can be confusing and unsettling, but when they're seen through a biblical lens, it really clears things up. Can you think of someone who needs to know what the Bible says about the future? Then I hope you'll get them a copy of Alert 08. Call now to order.
Well, thanks, Skip. And that's just one of several holiday packages we put together for you this Christmas here at The Connection. And you can call to find out more at 1-800-922-1888. Visit us on the internet at connectionradio.org, or we'd love to get a card or letter from you in the mail at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. You know, as Christians, we should be very concerned about truth in every form. So today, we're going to take a closer look at our lives and see where truth may not be as prominent as it should. Are you ready?
And make the connection.
We'll be right back.
We're going to continue our study in Exodus chapter 20 today. So as you find your place in your Bibles, let's join Skip Heitzig.
In ancient China, the Chinese wanted to build a wall. And I stood at the foot of that great wall of China and walked across a portion of it. And I was told the story of it. They wanted to build a wall so high that people couldn't climb over it, so thick people couldn't bust through it, and so long they couldn't go around it. And yet within the first 100 years of the Great Wall of China's existence, invaders came through it 3 times. And simply because they understood human nature, they bribed the gatekeepers. They understood the weakness wasn't in the structure. If we're going to find weakness, it will be in character. And here the Chinese had spent so much of their money and efforts in building structure and not enough in building character. The problem lies with us. Our character is flawed, and the Bible says it's flawed from birth. Parents, I know you've got wonderful kids. And some of you even think your kids are more wonderful than everybody else's kids. That's a prerogative of especially grandparents, but some parents as well. But did you ever have to teach your kids to lie just because they were so perfect you needed to just balance them out so they'd be like everybody else? No, I bet you had the experience that everybody else has, that they were, in the course of their upbringing, maybe engaged or caught in such an enterprise, and you had to correct it and tell them why they weren't to lie. Now, we know that man was created in God's image, but we also know that the image was marred, and it was marred at the fall. And so the psalmist declares this: even from birth, the wicked go astray. From the womb, they are wayward and speak lies. And Proverbs 22, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. So the fall of man is reflected in man's propensity to lie, to tell untruth. Like Satan, who was the one who perpetrated the fall from the beginning. It was all about lies. Satan is called the father of lies. He lied in the garden. Has God said? Oh, he won't do that. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You belong to your father, the devil, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Which means when we deliberately engage in a lie, we are shadowing not God's personality, but Satan's personality. We're becoming an ally. No wonder then, in the New Testament book of Acts, Peter said to Ananias in the early church, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" So the commandment touches on the character of God, it touches on the credibility of man, and also on the core issue of integrity. That's really what the commandment is all about. Integrity. The word integrity is a beautiful word. It means whole or undivided. Moral uprightness is the idea of integrity. Integrity is being what you say. And verbal integrity is underwritten in this entire commandment. Living with your life what you say with your lips. Jesus said, "From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks," or literally, from the overflow of what's inside the heart, the real you, the inner core, the mouth will speak. So that our mouths give us away eventually. The mouths at some point will reveal what the condition of the heart is. There was a teacher who said to one student who was particularly sloppy, she said to this young boy, "Why don't you brush your teeth? Yeah, I can see what you had for breakfast today." And he said, "What did I have?" He was a smart aleck. She said, "You had eggs." He said, that was yesterday." Yeah, that's pretty gross. Well, let me in culling through the scripture in a glance, give you a few different ways that verbal integrity is breached. First of all, slander. Slander would fall under this commandment. You shall not bear false witness. Slander is ruining another's character on purpose. It says in Proverbs 12:18, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. Very descriptive. It's like an old Japanese proverb that says, the tongue's only 3 inches long, it can kill a man 6 feet tall. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. Ever met a sharp-tongued individual? Ever been around such a person who's got that bite all the time and slanders other people? A verbal terminator? You know what the translation of the word devil is? Devil is diabolos in Greek. It means false accuser or slanderer. A person who's a slanderer, it's like he walks up to the devil and says, we're partners. That's his job. He's called, remember Revelation 12, the accuser of the brethren who accuses them night and day before God. So slander is one way. A second way is exaggeration. Americans, we're famous for this. Hyperbole is our middle name. That weighs a ton. I'm starving to death. Oh, I must have driven for a million miles. You know, we stretch everything out. It can be harmless. Sometimes it can be dangerous. For instance, in a relationship, if the wife says, oh, my husband is always late, or my wife is never nice, those aren't good things to say. They can do a lot of damage. In 1492, when Columbus sailed the ocean blue, on his first trip westward, because he knew that his crew aboard the ship was skittish about spending too much time out at sea, far away, without knowing where they were going, Columbus, it is said, kept two logs of his journey, two sets of logs. One, he calculated what were the actual distances according to his calculation. The second set of logs were to calculate shorter distances on purpose so that his men wouldn't think they're too far away from home. Here's the twist, however. The irony is his false set of books were more accurate, come to find out, than what his own calculations were. So even his own lies, his own foreshortened exaggerations were more accurate than what he thought were his actual distances. But in exaggeration, I think certain testimonies can be like that. I've heard testimonies by people, and then I've heard them told again, and then I've heard them told again. And it sort of seems that with some people, as they tell their testimony, because they know if they add more juicy stuff, they get a rise out of people. That it's sort of like a fish story. You know how the fish grows every time it's told? How big it was? And so the guy starts out, maybe, you know, I drank a beer in high school, and then later on it's like I had an alcoholic problem. God delivered me from alcoholism. No, God needs to deliver you from lying. When you tell your testimony, you don't have to add spice to make it more dramatic. Jesus loves to save anybody from anything. But it can be exaggerated. A third way is gossip. Gossip. Now, the Bible has a unique description of gossip. The Bible calls it tale-bearing. Tale-bearing. And talks about those who are tale-bearers. That means telling something without proper investigation. And a tale-bearer will peddle gossip. And there's lots of people who love to hear it. It has always amazed me that in the church, that Christians generally love gossip. It's fun to hear. Proverbs 18, the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. They go down into the inmost body. I discovered something, however, as I was studying through this. The Hebrew word for tail-bearing and tail-bearer in the Old Testament is anah, and it appears 329 times in the Old Testament. 42 of those times, it's not translated to speak, it's translated to hear. Same word. Isn't that interesting? Not translated to tell something, but to hear something. I think the point being is there wouldn't be so many open mouths if there weren't so many open ears. Tell me more. I want to pray more about that. Brother, sister. So can I encourage you to apply a fivefold test to people who would want to give you an evil report about anything or anyone? A fivefold test. These five questions, let this be your grid before entertaining and receiving an evil report. Number one, what is your reason for telling me this? Now, they might say, I'm just concerned, but you might dig and find out it's jealousy, it's anger. They're lashing out. Number two, where did you get your information? Give me a source. Oh, I don't want to reveal my sources. Then don't entertain the report. Number three, have you gone directly to those involved, or are you just picking up more hearsay? Did you personally go and try to resolve this with that person? Number four, have you personally checked out all the facts? Have you gone to investigate this and gotten all the facts? You know the old axiom, figures don't lie, but liars sure can figure. Get all the facts. And number five, can I quote you on this? I love to use that one, and I love to see the response on the face. Well, thank you for telling me this. If you don't mind, let me take your name down, because I'm going to quote you. Oh, don't leave me out of this. I encourage you, apply that five-question grid before receiving an evil report. Fourth, flattery. I think that falls under this commandment. Flattery. False praise. You're saying things you don't really mean, but you're saying them because you know that people like to hear them and you can manipulate them. That's flattery. By the way, the English word flattery comes from a French word that means to caress or stroke with the flat of one's hand. Stroking the person, giving them feel-good stuff just because you know what you can get out of it. Thomas Brooks used to say, while a donkey is being stroked on the belly, you can lay any burden on its back. Flattery. Proverbs 26, a flattering mouth works ruin. Why? Because it's not real. It appeals only to the ego. It's not sincere. Now, some of you will remember, and I know there's better examples, but I'm stuck in that time warp. When I say the name Eddie Haskell, does anybody resonate with that? You remember Leave It to Beaver. And Eddie Haskell was the quintessential flatterer. Hello, Mrs. Cleaver. You look so nice today. And he was always buttering up Mr. and Mrs. Cleaver because he was a weasel. Now, flattery is different than encouragement. Encouragement is good. There's not enough genuine encouragement in the church. Encouragement is stuff you say that you mean. It's from the heart. Flattery is just gushing out compliments to win favor. I think that falls under bearing false witness. And then fifth and finally, excuses to escape consequences. We call these white lies. Excuses to escape consequences. The evangelist Billy Sunday used to call an excuse, an excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. Very descriptive. It's what teachers tell students, or students tell teachers as to why their assignment was late. Or like the story I've told you about the four boys that missed class, and they said we had a flat tire, so the teacher said you missed the test. First question, she put them in four corners, which tire was flat? Ephesians chapter 4, we read, therefore, putting away lying, let each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. We speak truth because we are one family and we are related to the God of truth who loves truth. And so because we're members one of another, we put speaking lies and falsehood far from us. Basic principle, a closed mouth gathers no feet. Better to not say it than to say it and regret it. Jesus put it this way, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And that is a beautiful encapsulated description of verbal integrity. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. So, you shall not bear false witness. Touches on the character of man, the character of God, the problem that man has with truth, and finally, the core issue of integrity. So don't live like that gal, Arabella Young. I don't know if you've heard her story. Arabella Young has a tombstone somewhere, I read. There's her tombstone. She's in the ground. Her name, Arabella Young, printed on the tombstone. Her birth underneath. Her death, May 24th. And this inscription. Beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue. That's a sad, sad epitaph. Yep, she finally held her tongue when she died. May that not ever be for a child of God. Well, it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. The ultimate truth is eternal truth. And the ultimate lie is eternal lie. And one of the first eternal truths that the Bible underscores is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's the first eternal truth. Nobody can make it on their own. We're all failures in some degree, in some course. Followed by another truth. Someday we'll stand before God to answer for our lives. Followed by a third truth. Those who have not repented or come in contact with the one who gives life and cleanses by his blood will face an eternity without him. The fourth is the best truth of all. Forgiveness is available for everyone who believes. Those who confess and those who turn that lavish love of Christ. The one who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Don't forget that first word, the way. The way. He is the way for all truth breakers. For all of us who have fallen short to enter into his kingdom and glory.
You know, none of us may be perfect when it comes to telling the truth. But isn't it nice to know that God loves us so much that he wipes away our lies when we accept his truth? It's such a special gift to have all of our sins forgiven, even lying. And I hope that this Christmas season, that's a gift that you've already experienced. If it isn't, then I encourage you to give us a call at 1-800-922-1888. Let us share with you how you can receive the greatest gift of all time, the forgiveness and grace of God. That's also the number to call if you'd like to get a copy of today's message to review again later, or perhaps share with someone as a Christmas gift. Just call 1-800-922-1888 and get your copy of today's study on CD for just $6, including shipping, or visit our website at connectionradio.org. I also wanted to remind you that you can get that alert prophecy update featuring General Jerry Boykin, Tim LaHaye, and Skip Heitzig, together with Skip's series, Homeland Security, Peace in Times of Terror. It's the type of Christmas gift that will continue to last and have an impact long after Christmas is gone. Learn more when you call us at 1-800-922-1888. Now to close our time for today, here's Skip Heitzig.
Heavenly Father, one of the reasons we come every week is to look into what your word calls the law of liberty, the word of truth. We're called to love the truth because love rejoices not in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. And so, Lord, we have your standard. And in looking at your standard, we realize that every one of us at some point have fallen short of that standard. Hence the gospel. that takes the imperfect, we all are, and cleanses and saves.
And make the connection.
Issues we've covered so far in God's Top 10, none of them will prove quite as difficult as what we're going to study next time. So I hope you'll join us. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.